Welcome to the Teaching English in Japan podcast, episode 2, June 5th, 2009. This podcast is brought to you by the Teaching English in Japan guide and listeners just like you.
How you going, Eric? How was your weekend?
Oh, not bad. How was yours, Anthony?
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, we went down to a restaurant down in Itoshima called Current. It's right on the water. Beautiful view. It's up on a bit of a hill. It's a very, very nice, unique restaurant. We actually had brunch down there, and it was pretty warm, quite a warm day. But took my wife and my daughter down there, and we had some nice sandwiches. And my wife and I had bacon and eggs with some different kinds of homemade breads, which were very nice. Coffee and an orange juice for the daughter. And it was it's very cheap too. It's not expensive. It was like, I think, about 2,000 yen, about $20 for the lot for everybody. But you have to get there early because the place packs out pretty quick. You know, by lunchtime around noon, it's loaded up. And the earlier you get there, the better it is. But no, we had a great day. It's really good. How about yourself?
Oh, man. It was an interesting weekend. Myself and my wife and my son, we went to the zoo with some other friends, basically another couple with a similar age son, about 2 years old. And unfortunately, the zoo in Fukuoka has little to no parking. So we had to park about, I would say, pushing a mile or two away, or, you know, 1 or 2 kilometers away at the bottom of a hill. So we had to push the kids in the strollers up the hill for about 10 to 15 minute walk, and come to find out that the zoo is on a hill as well. So we had to go up and down and up and down and up and down all day, and saw a lot of interesting animals. There were a lot of the animal life is indigenous to this part of the world. So, for example, the raccoon dog, or in Japanese, a tanuki. It's a raccoon-ish looking animal, and lots of monkeys, and the Japanese monkey is a Japanese macaque. They're the usual hippos and one lion, one tiger, giraffes, and penguins, things like that. But it's pretty cool. It's a good day, except for the walking, and the price is unbeatable, I guess you could say. For adults, 400 yen. For kids, free. So it's a pretty cheap day. Got a lot of good exercise, but yeah. Definitely a good time.
So it was good value for money.
Oh, definitely. You know, when you're making the big bucks in Japan, you got a family to support. You know, sometimes it's key to look for the values. But after that, most important is we went to a place called Pizza and Pasta.
Oh, sounds good.
Which is a buffet. I'm not sure the price. It's less than 2,000 yen. And you can, they have a course, a buffet area that has a little bit of everything. And the cool thing is you can order personal size pizzas and pastas. And when you want, you just keep ordering all you can eat, all you can drink, a little dessert bar, little center area with fruits and vegetables and salads. So it's a pretty good deal. And we pigged out after that. Then everybody went home and slept. So it was a good weekend.
Cool. Well, that's good. Yeah, so when we went home, more or less the same thing. Had a bit of a sleep, and then took my daughter out to playground across the road and burned off a bit more energy, so she was happy, and all in all it was a good day. But oh, I got a bit sunburnt too. It was pretty hot, wasn't it?
Yeah, I got a little red. There was basically kind of rare this time of year, no clouds in the sky at all, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's right.
So next, I think we should talk a little bit about what's happening in the news in Japan.
Yes, let our listeners know what's happening over here.
So it looks like probably the top story in the news that we've been seeing is there was a gentleman that was put in prison about 17 years ago for supposedly killing a 4-year-old girl. Was just released after some DNA tests proved his innocence. And the story is on every news, the morning, afternoon, and evening news. The guy is, what you call it? He's, of course, he's happy to be out, and I'm not sure. They haven't really said much about him, how much he's going to get paid for being in there. Yeah, he's in for 17 years in DNA tests. His lawyer has been pursuing this for the whole time, and finally they proved his innocence, and he was released. So it's all over the news.
And it's come to that special time of year. The Japanese call it Suyu. To us, it's the rainy season, and it's hot, and it's humid, and it's wet. And down here in southern Kyushu, we sort of get the tail end of the monsoons from the other parts of Asia. And when it starts to rain, it rains, which is a good thing, really, because it's the time of year that they plant the rice. And Fukuoka doesn't have what you call a great water supply. So, you know, they need to fill the dams up for the summer, which promises to be an absolute scorcher this year. So that will probably be starting next week or the next couple of weeks. It's hard to say when, but you can sort of see the clouds now are starting to look very rainy season-like, can't you, Eric?
Yeah, definitely. You can just... The temperatures are still relatively cool, about 21 degrees Celsius, I believe it was today.
Yep, it's about that.
You can feel the coolness in the air, but you can also feel the mugginess slowly creeping in.
Yeah, that sweaty feeling is... in the air, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. If you're not familiar with the climate of Japan, it is very humid and hot in the summer. And spring and fall are very temperate and very nice times of the year. And winter is, how would you say, cold as balls?
Yep, yeah, that's a nice way, yeah. A good way to put it. But actually, I think last year or... not so long ago, they actually changed the climate rating for Kyushu from moderate to subtropical because they've found some kind of plant life that grows, I don't know, it could be a seaweed or something around the coastlines that is actually subtropical. So now they've changed the temperature rating.
Go figure. It's been the same temperature for how many years and they finally discovered this plant and now they can actually technically classify it as subtropical.
Yeah, I don't know where they get the subtropical from when it snows in the winter, do you?
Yeah, that's an interesting classification, I guess you can say, to say the least. So I think it's time that that's probably it for the Japan news. One more story. How about the freaking influenza in the news? It's unbelievable.
Oh man, it never stops here. I mean, it's just unbelievable here.
Yeah, it's like one of the teachers was wearing one of the fashionable masks, and I was like, "Oh, do you got the flu?" She goes, "No, I have a cold. My doctor said I have the cold." So nobody wants to be, you know, called or classified as having the flu. It's like the freaking bubonic plague came through the place. And, you know, I mean, how many people a year get a flu? But they just go overboard in, you know, actually a lot of countries. But here in Japan, it's just they were about to close one of my schools for the day because 4 students had the flu.
Oh, no. So, I mean, if any of you guys out there have got shares in some of these companies that make face masks, hold on to them.
Definitely, definitely.
Because... The Japanese are just ordering stacks of them. And there's going to be a surplus.
You know what's even funnier is on airlines and in America and in any cross, intercontinental flights, things like that, it seems like more than half of the people on them are actually wearing masks now. Not just Asians, but, you know, Caucasians and other races, I guess you can say. But lots of people are just worried about this so-called pandemic or whatever it is of the swine flu or whatever they changed the name to now.
Yeah, but it's typical, isn't it? The Japanese news gets hold of something and they just won't let it go. You know, they're like a a dog that's grabbed hold of a bone and it isn't going to give it back.
Yeah.
And they'll just go on and on and on.
Yeah. Same with the guy that was in prison for about 17 years. You cannot watch the news. You'll just get sick of it because they keep showing the same video, looping of the same guy talking about it. Well, it's similar to, you know, our country's news, but just the size of Japan geographically, I guess, makes the news more of a state news or like a regional news. You know, like it would be like the news for Hawaii or the news for Los Angeles, you know, one little area. But it's compared to like the all of Australia or you know, Queensland or something like that.
Yeah, that's what it seems to be like that here, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah. Now let's move into the main segment today. Today we're going to be talking about the day in the life of an ALT. ALT is an assistant language teacher, and that's a position that is available for those who are wanting to teach English in Japan. There's conversation schools, which are called Eikaiwas. So, today we're going to focus on the day in the life of an ALT at a junior high school, and later I'll put in a little comments of for in high school, but pretty much the same. And on next week's episode, we're going to do the day in the life of an Eikaiwa teacher. So I'm going to turn over the microphone to Anthony, and he's going to give you his day in the life of an ALT in Japan.
Okay, so I work in a junior high school, and Eric works in a high school. So it's important to note from the very beginning that all schools have their own peculiarities. And are very different, whether they are elementary, junior high, or high schools. So what I endeavour to do is to give you an in-depth look into the schedule of a junior high school where I'm employed. The schedules can and they do vary quite dramatically from those of senior high schools, so it's impossible to give any hard and fast rules about what your day can and will involve. So the following is a guide as to how one junior high school works, and is meant to just give you an idea of what you may be able to expect every day at school. So generally speaking, the school has a morning meeting in my school, and it starts at 8:20 a.m. until 8:25 a.m. It's a staff meeting. And it's what the Japanese call a shokuin chōlei. All the teachers are in the teacher's room to discuss the day's activities and to give important notices. Junior teachers, including ALTs, hardly ever speak at these meetings, but attendance is compulsory. So, tip one, and this is very important, don't be late. The principal, Kocho-sensei, and the vice principal, Kyoto-sensei, will look across to see if the ALT is present. If you're going to be late for some reason, call ahead and apologise. Being late is pretty much frowned upon. Even if you're just sitting there and saying nothing, you must be there at the start of the meeting. From 8:30 to 8:40, they have a form meeting, or what they call a homeroom meeting. That's where the homeroom teachers go to their homerooms and they relay or pass on any important messages and check on student attendance. Teachers who are not in charge of a class, they just stay in the teacher's room like the ALT. Then from 8:40 to 8:50, this is called challenge time. This is where the students are given set tasks to do in preparation for certain events, special subjects or whatever. It just depends on the time of year and what is in the pipeline. From 9 to 9:50 is the first lesson. First period begins in the morning. There are usually four lessons of 50 minutes each, with a break of 10 minutes between each class. Teachers generally teach three or four lessons each day, sometimes more. It just really depends on their individual schedules. The remainder of the time is spent preparing lessons, marking tests, disciplining students, supervising club activities and other duties. Second period is 10 to 10.50, third period is 11 to 11.50, and then fourth period is 12 to 12.50. From 12.50 to 1.25 is lunchtime, so as soon as the bell goes, the students set up their desks in the classroom for lunch and prepare the serving table. Other students go to the loading bay and pick up their class's lunch in big containers, carry it back to the classroom and serve it up. Everybody eats together with their homeroom teacher. Sometimes the ALT is asked to go and eat lunch with the students, sometimes they're not. Some ALTs never go to a class. Then from 1.30 to 1.40, lunch clean-up, and everything is taken back to the loading bay and packed up for the garbage trucks to pick up. Oh, pick up. That's the for the caterers to pick up. From 1.45 to 1.55 is cleaning time. The students are responsible for cleaning their own classrooms under teacher supervision. Also the school buildings and grounds. So teachers are assigned areas to supervise and help with. Often the ALT is not assigned anywhere, but your help is much appreciated. Usually the company you work for encourages you to or informs you that you must help every day with the cleaning. As I mentioned before, all schools are different. And at my school last year, my job personally was to empty all the garbage bins in the teacher's room, empty the paper shredder, and gather and tie up all recycled boxes and paper. This year, however, is different. I supervise and help clean the outside drains. It is a good opportunity to talk with the students out of the classroom. Then from 1.55 to 2.40, it's break time for the students, so they get to go out and play a bit of baseball or do whatever they want in that time. And then from 2.40 to 3.30 is the fifth period, and the sixth period is 3.40 to 4.30. There is generally a short homeroom after the sixth period. So, like, usually at 4.30 or a little bit before students go... At 4.30, students go home. Some stay to practice club activities, which are supervised by the teachers, and finish around 6, I believe. One thing that may surprise you and also frustrate you is that the daily timetable is extremely flexible. The length of the lessons are often cut by 5 or 10 minutes each, and sometimes whole lesson periods are cut or added to accommodate for special events. For example, sports day, sports trips, usually a 3-day trip to like Kyoto, Hiroshima or Tokyo, the culture festival and graduation. So usually these changes are scheduled ahead of time. For example, to allow time for extra cleaning, PTA meetings, exams, school council elections, the school culture festival, and the others mentioned above. Sometimes, however, they are unexpected. For example, when lessons are cut due to bad weather or because an emergency has occurred and the staff need to have a long meeting, these changes in the schedule are usually discussed at the morning meetings and written on the staff room blackboard. This is very important for ALTs. Your supervisor should tell you about them, but it is a frequent source of frustration amongst ALTs that they are not informed, and suddenly the class they carefully planned for is cut, or they arrive at school one day and everyone else is in sportswear ready for the sports day or cleaning day. So generally, if this happens to you, it's best not to get angry with those you feel should have told you. They probably forgot or overlooked it. they do have a lot on their plates, and they'd never do it intentionally. So at the end of the day, it's all right to make mistakes, even though it's not your own. And doing so with good humour is better than making a mistake and getting angry with your colleagues you work with every day. Keep the harmony. It's just best to have and work in a harmonious work environment. So, tip two. You may want to keep an old set of gym wear and runners in your school locker to avoid any surprise days that come along. Well, that's all there is from me. If you have any questions, comments or need advice, please email us. We'll be only too glad to help you. Now it's over to Eric. Thanks for listening in.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty close to my day there. The only differences might be since I'm at a high school, there seems to be a lot more test days. So often you actually come to work and there's nothing for you to do. Let's see what else. Our days are from 40 to 50 minutes. Again, in the morning meeting, the length of the lesson are the length of the lessons are put on the board, so you have a good understanding. If you work at multiple schools like I do, actually Anthony only works, he's lucky or unlucky enough to have only one school, but I have four schools, so it's a little bit better. Little less responsibility for someone who works at multiple schools, so I don't actually have to do any cleaning. I actually do for the fun of it, or I walk around and, you know, hang out with the students or the teachers. But yeah, that's pretty much the basic day in the life of an ALT. You can have from zero to max. I think I've had five lessons in one day. And I don't know about you, Anthony. How many have you had in one day?
Oh, the most I've had six.
Oh, wow, that's pretty hardcore.
That's the maximum.
Yeah. So usually, I would say an average is three or four a day. Max six, but yeah, pretty much you can bet on three or four a day, unless there's any kind of sports days or assemblies or influenza outbreaks or anything like that. Cool. Great main event by Anthony there, with a little bit of comments from me coming up on the end. That was the day in the life of an ALT, assistant language teacher. Next, we'd like to encourage any listeners out there who have any questions or comments to please go to the homepage, which is teaching-english-in-japan-guide.com. It's a pretty long URL, but all the other good URLs were taken, so we chose that one. This show definitely encourages communication between us and the listeners out there. Also, we'd like to plug our book. Anthony and I have been working on a Teaching English in Japan guide. It's currently about 71 pages of pure text, and there's over 20 pictures which are related to the text. It's a comprehensive guide to living and working in Japan. What do you want to say about this book to the audience out there?
I think what I really want to say is it's a very easy reading, and it's written by two normal guys. You know, we're just average guys, and with 20 plus years experience here in Japan, and we think we've made it a very good book that we've put together, and that'll give you a really good rundown on working and living in Japan. And so please, you know, consider buying our book. You won't be disappointed.
Yeah, definitely. I think the main reason we wrote this was because when we came to Japan, we didn't have anything. we made all the mistakes. So basically, we tried to document, is Japan right for you? What to bring? what not to bring, what your living arrangements will be like, what your working environment will be like, the trials and tribulations, anything related to living and working in Japan, we put into the book.
And we didn't do anything about it at that time, which we should have, because all the new guys had come along and the word would get around and they'd say, oh, ask Eric or ask Anthony. You know, the new teachers want to know something. Oh, ask Eric, ask Anthony. And we never thought about it at that point in time. But now when we sit down and think about it, we should have done something about it then. But now we've decided to put everything together and put it out there for you people. So please help us to help you.
Definitely, definitely. And let's see. One last thing we want to say is on the site, there's several ways you can help us with the podcast. You can question and comments. You can pick up a copy of the book. You can submit articles if you live in Japan or if you're interested in Japanese culture and you want some more information, questions like that. And there's some donation buttons on the side, on the right side of the site. So if you feel that, you know, we're doing a good job and you want to help us out a little bit, go ahead and click on those buttons and we'll much appreciate it. Much appreciate it. The wives will definitely appreciate it.
Oh, yes. Yes, they'll be more than happy.
Because, I mean, they did give us a Friday night pass.
Oh, yeah.
For every Friday to come do the podcast.
We get the gold pass of a Friday night, but we've got to produce.
Yeah, and if we don't produce in 3 to 6 months, they will revoke the pass. No doubt on my side. What about your side,
Tom? Oh, man. Yeah, for certain.
That's pretty cool. But anyways, thanks for listening to the show. We will catch you next week. And next week's main theme is going to be the life, a day in the life of an Eikaiwa teacher. That's an English conversation teacher. And Tony and I have worked many years at English conversation school. So
we certainly have. And we've got some good information there for you too. So please join us next week.
Okay. And I think we'll end it with a little Japanese of... Ja mata. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.